Hey, my friend, welcome to Follow Through Fridays. Wow. Okay, so this one is just a little bit late. I wanted to just start off the conversation today by sharing just a couple things. So this may completely blow up in my face. I don't know. But I have finally made the effort to flip my business model around. And I guess what I mean by that is like my approach to my business. For many years now, probably about a decade, I have been addicted to the hustle. And I've hustled hard. I've hustled hard since 2014 when I still had a job. I would work before school. I would work after I got home. I would work all weekend, all of those things. And you'd think having a heart attack would, you know, kind of make this clear for you. But I was like, I really do need to prioritize my health because I was definitely going the wrong way, just sitting around a lot of the time on the computer and different things. And so I joined a gym and I've been going. And what's crazy is I drop my son off at school in the morning and then I go to the gym and the gym's 20 minutes away. It's a 20-minute drive there, 20-minute drive home, and the workout's an hour. That takes about 2 hours out of what is typically my most proficient work time. I'm usually best in the morning. But strangely enough, I found that if I exercise in the morning, my proficiency time actually expands because I'm not dead inside from lack of movement. I don't know. Again, this could completely blow up in my face, but I just want to share with you that I'm really proud of myself because I've done this, putting your health first. It just seems so hard sometimes as an entrepreneur. But right now, you know, I've got some stress in my life that really needs an outlet. And I have a lot of pent up stress because I tried to handle my stress by working harder in my businesses. That's healthy in a way. It wasn't like I started doing drugs or something. But what wasn't healthy was that stress didn't have anywhere to go. And so it was just like inside. And we had an event last night that really motivated me to share these feelings with you today. My husband was picking donuts up. He had a diabetic episode at the grocery store and he didn't know his name. He didn't know where he was. Thankfully, someone who works with him, he's a special needs PE teacher, one of the teachers recognized him and went up to talk to him and realized obviously something was wrong with Coach. And they call him Mr. Coach at that particular school. Thankfully, she was able to get the manager of the store. They called the fire department, an EMS, EMT, whatever. And then they called me, which I thought it was a joke at first because the guy who called me, he sounded like Kermit the Frog. And so I thought my husband was playing a joke on me at first. But my son Asher was listening because it was on speakerphone. He thought, oh no, daddy's been in an accident. And I'm just trying to figure out what's happening. And my son's reacting like an adult. So anyway, my husband, his blood sugar had dropped to 22. And, you know, when it gets to zero, you're dead or in a coma or something like that. So we are very fortunate that someone recognized him at the grocery store. But I tell you that story just to share with you, those are the types of stressful moments that in the past, I would have buried deep down. And I can't lie and say that I didn't stress eat a little bit afterwards. But I also looked forward to this morning when I knew I was going to have a workout and I knew I was going to be able to get onto a rowing machine or a treadmill or lifting weights and just really compete against these negative emotions that come with horrible events like that. So I just want to share and also encourage you, like, don't fall into the trap like I did that you have to hustle all the time or things aren't going to happen. Things are going to happen whether you hustle or not. And I'm not saying don't work hard, but I'm saying like work hard on taking care of yourself and then work hard on your business. And I say that because I'm going to edit this episode and I'm going to listen to this episode and I'm going to hear that again. And that message is also for me, not just for you, but I hope it benefits you as well. So anyway, just a little bit of sharing. This Follow Through Friday is going to be just a tad bit longer because I'm talking now about what we heard from Nick Rubright. And if you haven't listened to that episode, Nick was talking about creating linkable assets and statistic type data on your website so that other media outlets and other websites would want to link to you. This doesn't come easy to me. This whole concept of public relations and finding like an angle for something, that is just not the way my brain thinks. I have a terrible time of putting things in order. You know how some people read backwards? I see situations backwards. That's how that works. So anyway, knowing that about myself, it's hard for me to put the project in order. So again, this may be very discombobulated. I'm one of those people that I can work backwards and like untangle the mess. It might take me like 4 times as long as someone else to do a project like this, but getting all of the ideas out and then trying to reorganize them is helpful to me. My Follow Through Friday's task for myself was to think of how I could incorporate statistics on my website, collagenwood.com. And as I was thinking through that, I also thought back to how my friend Andy, who has a book called The Value of SEO, which is great, I highly recommend that book. But he had said, really, the purpose of good SEO on your website is to become searched for. So I think he says something like, be found once and searched for twice. So the idea is that you want to create a website so good that people actually come to your website, that they're not just first-time visitors. You want people to keep coming back. So I was like, okay, I've had some ideas on this in the past. I think I've talked about having a poster hall of fame, which I still haven't done. That's more for my clients and not for statistics. And Nick was talking about a data map and how it's really beneficial because like local journalists will pick up a data map. And then if it does well and has information for national application, national publications might pick it up as well. So right now in my world, the big talk is women's basketball and NIL, which is name, image, likeness. And I am like obsessed with both topics because I just love that each thing is having a moment right now. And so my idea for a data map was something called a PIA, player impact estimate. Okay. So if you're not a sports fan, just stay with me for a second because maybe you could come up with something like this for whatever it is that you're into. But when you have a team of athletes, you often have like your number one player, right? The person who gets all the points. And that's usually like the superstar. But there are a lot of players on a team. And if we're using basketball as an example, that, you know, you need players to do certain things. You need players to get rebounds because if nobody gets rebounds on your team, when the other team shoots, then the other team gets the rebound and then they can score easier. And if they can score a lot, then they're going to beat you, right? So you need people rebounding. You need people making good passes. You need people not turning the ball over. You need people making free throws. And I wish there was a statistic for like hustle plays and emotional energy because you need those players too. And that's really hard to document as a statistic. But there are different statistics that show the other things besides points. The idea here is that I would do this analysis of the players for the Iowa women's basketball team, particularly their NCAA tournament games, because they made it to the women's national championship. That's a lot of teams, you know, because it's like you're going through all the rounds, including like the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the championship game. So I was like, you know what? Maybe it might be better to break down the commonalities for just like the championship game or maybe the Final Four. But my point was I wanted to figure out like what did the stronger and weaker teams in those games have in common with each other or different from each other. And this is the hard thing about it. It's this idea of measuring the unmeasurables in sport. The player that inspired this idea for me is a girl named Gabby Marshall. And gosh, there's a whole bunch. My husband and I are just like in love with their team. A lot of times teams have a lot of friction because when you have like a superstar like Caitlin Clark, a lot of times girls will sit around and be super jealous or whatever. And like, I need to get mine. And why is she getting all this attention and blah, 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 blah. And so those type of things break down a team because people get jealous. And instead of working together, finding a role so that they can win, they disintegrate and they lose. This team somehow overcame that. And so it's really interesting to me. And again, the player that's really interesting to me is Gabby Marshall. And I commented on an Instagram post where someone had said something about Gabby. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I know she does so many things that just go unnoticed or not celebrated. And the typical fan is not going to see all the things that she does that really contributed to the ability of Iowa's team to win. So why I wanted to do this player impact estimate formula was because I was interested in Gabby's Marshall's impact that didn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. I looked up a bunch of things about this, and this player impact estimate is actually a thing. There's three parts to it. First of all, there's getting all of the statistics. Once you've calculated the PIE numbers, this is how you interpret the results. It's about giving context to understand each player's contribution to the team's success, their efficiency, and their overall impact on the game dynamics, which I love. And then there is the comparative analysis piece. So let's compare the Iowa statistics and their players against the University of South Carolina statistics. I love Dawn Staley. I love her approach. I love her mindset. I probably couldn't play for her because I'm just not mentally strong enough, but I like to think that I could. And since this is my fantasy, I can think that. So let's compare the Iowa statistics and their players against the University of South Carolina. And then we can identify standout performers, underrated contributors, and strategic insights that can inform coaching decisions and player evaluations. So yeah, that's what I want to do. Okay. So that's going on the never ending to-do list. And then Nick mentioned another way to stay up to date on trending topics was to immerse yourself in the culture, the information that you want to be a part of, right? I mean, a list of things I could do to keep myself like involved in the conversation, especially until I get these statistics together. And I figure I have up until a year to get this done, because ideally it would be something presented between now and next year's Women's Final Four, because it'd be cool. I could do that every year, right? And compare those statistics and find those sleeper standout players or whatever. First thing first, follow the WNBA. And I'll be honest, I have never followed the WNBA. I couldn't name a WNBA team until this last week when Caitlin got drafted, when Angel got drafted, when Kate got drafted. And right now, I think I only know the Fever. Okay. Don't come for me. Really, I don't watch professional sports, period. I watch football because my husband watches football. So anyway, how I can stay up to date on these trending topics is, number one, follow the WNBA, probably follow different teams, and I'm working on that. Follow NCAA women's basketball and those top teams. So I'm working on that as well. I'm doing that from my Instagram account, maybe Twitter, all that type of stuff. And then definitely following the top players. So I had heard the name Angel Reese before. I'd heard the name Caitlin Clark before. I know who Kate Martin is. I know Juju. She's at USC. Then there's also the top women's analyst. I think it's Andrea Carter. I'm not sure. I should have probably looked this up beforehand, but the women's announcement teams for the NCAA tournament were fantastic. They had the former coach at Purdue. She was part of the team, and the ladies just did an amazing job. Like, they were so much fun to listen to. One of my favorite parts of the game is just hearing the analysts like break it down at halftime. And I thought the women's tournament analysts did an amazing job. So I need to follow all those guys and then think about what news outlets cover women's basketball. And so I know the algorithm will start to serve that type of stuff up to me once I start following the right people. Obviously, I should probably start reading some of those news outlets and then subscribing to their social media, maybe their email lists, all that type of stuff. And I guess there's probably women basketball forums. There's probably fan groups on Facebook. I can look to see, okay, who's got the Facebook groups or where are the fans at, and follow them. And I learned a long time ago, you can set up Google alerts for different topics. I can set up Google alerts for the names of these people and women's basketball, NIL deals, that type of stuff. Oh, and then the last thing is to follow top women coaches. And I don't know all of their names, and I'm not fans of some of the ones that I do know, but to be a part of the overall conversation, I need to follow the people who are at the top of the organizations. That is the plan. That is the plan for that. Okay. So in my research, I know this is like getting really long-winded, so I'll try to sum it up here. Once I have the data, my next question was like, okay, what do I do once I have the data, right? How can I visually represent that data? And of course, I go to my best friend, my writing assistant, Jasper, and I said, once I have the data, then what? And so Jasper told me that I could maximize shareability with data maps for these player impact estimates. Jasper shared that these data maps can enhance shareability, engagement, and asset creation in the realm of basketball analytics. I was like, Jasper, you're going to help me sound so smart. Whoop. So he gave me 3 to 5 specific ways to utilize a data map effectively. So the first one was an interactive heat map that showcased players' impact zones on the court based on their player impact estimate scores, and then allow people to explore key areas where players excel and contribute significantly to the game. So where this could be really beneficial, South Carolina obviously had some huge players. So I could see that a lot of their impact is going to be like in the paint, around the goal, that type of stuff. You let the statistics show you what the truth is, not just University of your eyes, right? Then Jasper suggested comparison bubble charts that display players' PIE values relative to their playing time or position. And then I could size the bubbles based on those player impact estimate scores. That sounds like fun. That sounds like something my husband John would love to dive into. So if I had to delegate that to someone, it would probably be employee number one. And then the next thing would be geospatial player impact maps. And I do feel smarter just by saying that. So this would be, again, creating hotspots where they generate their most impact and help people understand the on-court presence and like what they're bringing to the game. And then number 5, probably something that kind of goes along with one of the options between 1 and 4, but that would be to create social media optimized infographics. And so those infographics would summarize like the key insights from these player impact estimates, maybe have some player comparisons. I say all this and I'm just like, oh my gosh, when is there going to be time for that? Maybe it's something I can delegate now that I actually have a plan of what kind of information I need maybe I could hand that off to somebody and say, hey, could you find these statistics for me? Now, what was crazy is there are many free resources, but there are some statistic resources online that cost like $1,000 a year. So I imagine if you are a public relations firm or a big agency that does this consistently, that it makes sense to have this type of membership. But I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I'll be getting the $1,000 annual membership for this one particular project. But I guess if I did it more often, it'd definitely be useful. So other ways that you could share this information, there's things called chord diagrams, something called a Sankey diagram. It almost sounds like it's a bad word. And there's also tree maps, which sounds like something I learned about at one point in school, but I still don't know what it means. Oh, and then there's radar charts. Never heard of a radar chart, but that could show individual players' strengths across multiple impact categories, such as scoring, rebounding, assists, and defense. There's also network graphs, word clouds, which I can get down with a word cloud, okay, because I understand word clouds. That's one of my favorite things. I used to use Wordle all the time for teaching, super fun. And then there's also scatter plots with trend lines. I really struggle with statistics. So it's funny that it's coming full circle, all the things that I should know but don't. But that's okay. So anyway, I hope I've given you some ideas and some terminology that you might be able to go and look up for yourself. So as you're thinking about what kind of statistics you could gather, that maybe you could do like comparisons year over year, so you don't have to continually think up a new angle. Because I'm thinking if I did it once, I might be able to use one of these visual representations. And then the next year, I probably would be like killing it with that particular chart. So maybe then I could add on another creative diagram of some kind. And then that would make it so that, hey, look, if you're interested in that type of statistical breakdown, come to my website and see it. And then there might be people who are looking for women's basketball statistics in 2024 and 2025. And guess what? I'm going to have some statistics for them to hopefully cite in their news article. So that's the plan. I'll let you know how it goes because it sounds hard. It sounds like one of the hardest things that I might have ever said I was going to do. But typically when I say I'm going to do something, it does get done. The timeline is just a little blurry right now. So anyway, I want to know, what do you think? What are you going to do? Do you, any of this like pop out to you as something you can use for your business? Or do you have an idea, a connection that you can make with data and what you sell, what you do, who you serve? Please let me know. Okay. And you can do that by emailing me at hello@simpleandsmartseo.com. And I hope you enjoyed this crazy conversation and breakdown of statistics and data maps and finding data and compiling data in a new way so that you could become a resource for people searching for that type of data online. Yeah. Good luck, my friend. See you next time.
Hey guys, this is Crystal, one of your co-hosts from the Simple and Smart SEO Show podcast. If you're looking for a unique, handcrafted way to spruce up your home or office, then collageandwood.com is the perfect place for you. We are a small, woman-owned business that offers a range of beautiful wooden signs for your home or office. Our talented team of artists will work with you to create a sign that perfectly suits your needs. So why wait? Use promo code SIMPLE10 to save 10%. Visit collageandwood.com today. Save 10% with promo code SIMPLE10. That's collageandwood.com.